Thank you, ladies. What a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and please turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127. Tonight, I want to continue the theme through the day. This morning, I talked about marriage and talked about the mind is really the key to your marriage and how you think. Well, tonight, I want to speak on the family, and I want to talk about this subject. Unless the Lord builds the family. Unless the Lord builds the family. Now, the family is God's design, just like marriage is God's design. God has a set pattern for a family. And you know, it is a wonderful privilege for a husband and wife to have children in the home. We have lots of little babies around here and more to come, and that's a great, great blessing. But you know, it is a sad thing in a home if that home does not follow the biblical pattern. Now, please understand tonight that children will make their own decisions, and children have their own accountability to Christ. But as parents, we are to establish a Christian home, a home with biblical principles. And let's look at what the Bible says tonight. Psalm chapter 127 and verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Today, we live in a time of failed institutions. I mean, we think about our government. Our government can't seem to balance their budget or even to curb the crime in our country. Financial institutions are crumbling around us. And at the base of all of it is dysfunctional and splintering families. Now, I could give you statistics tonight, but I'm afraid that the statistics would discourage you when we think about the family. Our country is in trouble today because of families. In fact, the family is really the foundation of our country. If the family goes wrong, so does the country go wrong. In fact, the institution of the family is both sacred and needed. Now, we understand that the family was the first institution that God established, and God gave direct commands to the family. How the father is to be, how the mother is to be, how the children are to be. In fact, we understand that many of society's problems today are simply the result of families not being what God has designed for them to be. Now, I think in some ways that the family has come to a crisis today. We're at a crisis time. And I think our culture has responded to the crisis by almost wanting to change the standard or lowering the standard or changing the whole idea of what family may be. In fact, rather than working to strengthen and build the family, our culture is trying to redefine the family. It's trying to make what is abomination normalized in our country. And may God help us that we stay with the Bible and what the family is to be. And I believe that our only hope for Christian families today is the standard that we find in God's precious word. So tonight, I want to give you some things from Psalm chapter 127. Number one, let's talk about the foundation of the family. Now, no housing area, let's say that a company comes in and they buy land and they're going to build a subdivision. No construction company is going to come in and build houses without a foundation. There has to be a foundation. In fact, in many ways, the foundation is the most important part of the house. And may I say to you tonight that the most important part of the family is its foundation. What is it building upon? Do you know that all of us are building on something tonight? You're either building on things that are a faulty foundation, or you are building on things with a strong and a secure foundation. We are all building tonight. In fact, God not only wrote the blueprint for the family, But he also wrote how the family is to function. Now let's go back to Psalm chapter 127. And I want you to look in verses 1 and 2 because this is so important for us to understand. Except the Lord. The idea was, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. The word vain there means empty. They labor in vain that build it. Do you know in a family, you are building in a family. But unless you follow God's standard and you obey His commands, you have a family that is not going to stand the test of time. It must be built on the right foundation. It goes on to say in verse 1, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. Now the word keepeth there has the idea of guarding or protecting. Even the night watchman has to have the divine enabling of God because there's all kinds of circumstances going on. Parents, let's just be honest tonight. There is no way that we know what is coming to our children. In many ways, I feel like the devil has just released the arsenal of hell on children today. I mean, more is coming at them than what you and I had ever come at us. I believe we understand that tonight. So here's the thought. Brethren, if you do not have the Lord's help in protecting your family and building your family, it is in vanity. It is in vain. You know, my wife and I, we love our children. We love the family that God has given to us. But we found out early on that unless we had God's help, His divine intervention, we do not have enough to help our kids become what God wants them to be. Except the Lord build the house. And unless God is working in your home and in your marriage, it will never be what God intended it to be. And unless the Lord protects it, unless He is keeping it, it will never be what God wants it to be. The foundation of the family. The reference here is, folks, you and I believe that as a father, I've tried to protect my children. I protect them physically, and I want to protect them even from wrong influences that could come into their life, whether it be through social media, whether it be through the internet, whether it be through friends that might influence them to dishonor or disobey God. But there's only so much that I can do, and there's only so much that you can do. So we need God to guide us and direct us about the foundation for our family. Now, verse number 2, look at this. This may sound like this verse doesn't belong here, but it does. Verse number 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early. Now, that shouldn't be your life verse, all right? Let me just say that to you, okay? It's not talking about that you shouldn't get up early, but here's the emphasis. It is vain, it's empty for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. The emphasis there is, brethren, we should do everything that we can to protect our children, to build our families, to have the Word of God in prayer in our homes, to make sure that our children are in church and they're learning the truths of God's Word. But brethren, we have to come to the place to where we commit our children to the Lord and rest in God's work in their life. You know what I'm comforted tonight to know? That God is more interested in my children than I could ever be interested in them. I mean, every day, many times throughout the day, I pray for my kids. I pray for my daughter who's in Virginia teaching, and this is a new chapter in her life as she is teaching away, and she deals with things that are new to her to deal with, and I pray for her. But you know what? I want to be right there with her. She hadn't been there working long, and another teacher hit her car in the parking lot. I mean, it wasn't bad, but, you know, man, I just wanted to rush to Virginia and take care of everything for her. But she had to work through that, and I tried to guide her through that. And there's many things that I want to be right there, but I'm reminded that God is with her, and God is working. And as a parent, it's vain for me to rise up early, to sit up late worrying and fretting and eating the bread of sorrows, because God gives His beloved sleep. You see, we think about things that we try to do, and if we want to have all the control over our children, brethren, we must understand we must rest in the Lord and follow God's plan. In fact, there's a verse in Haggai in chapter 1 and verse number 6. I want to read it to you. The Bible says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes." Do you know what God is telling the nation of Israel here through the prophet Haggai? He is saying they were working hard and diligently, but God was preventing them from prospering because they were refusing to put their trust and their dependence upon Him. And let me just simply tell you tonight that if your trust and your dependence is on your wisdom, is on your psychology, if you want to call it that way, or what you think is best, you will fail. And we must understand it is vain for us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. The foundation of your family is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. We must trust in Him and follow Him and let Him guide us. Number two, we talk about the fruit of a family. Now, the fruit of the family. Now, look in verse number 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, the proper biblical attitude about children is not that they are a burden, not that they are difficult to deal with, but the proper biblical attitude of children is that they are gifts from the Lord. And we should look at it that way. I think a husband should look at his wife, this is a gift from God to me. I think a wife should look at her husband, this is a gift that God has given to me. But parents, we should look at our children, they are gifts from the Lord. The word heritage means a possession. Can I tell you, they are the heritage of the Lord. They do not belong to us. Look, most of us will have our children in our home for maybe 17 to 20 years. That's a relatively short time that they will be in our home, and they are a gift. They are a blessing. They are a reward from God to us, but they really do not belong to us. Now, we are simply entrusted by God to care for our children, they're on loan to us from God. And my wife and I came to understand early that our children, God created them. And God put them in our home to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I will say this to you. We have made lots of mistakes as parents. We have not been perfect parents by no means. And I don't know about you, but I'll never forget the first time we dropped our daughter off at college. Leaving her there, I thought to myself, whose idea was this anyway? This is a bad idea, you know? But can I tell you what I did? Here she was, dropping her off at college. And as I left there, I thought, Lord, I didn't teach her this and I didn't teach her that. I almost had so much regret in my heart because I thought that was a short period of time. We only had a little time to try to train her and raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and teach her the great truths of God. But brethren, they are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb, it is from the Lord. John Wesley said this, "I learn more about Christianity from my mother than from all of the theologians in England." Think about that just for a minute. John Wesley was admitting that what happens in the home is so very important. What our children are learning from us is so very important. In fact, fathers, we are to instruct our children. In fact, do you know the father, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." Now, how can a dad provoke his children to anger? Well, I think with unrealistic expectations. I believe he can provoke them to anger with hypocrisy from his own life. Listen, children know when we are real. They know it. They know that when we are doing right or wrong. They know it. They know when we are genuine in areas of our life. And may God help us that we are teaching our children understanding that this is God's gift to us. This is the heritage of the Lord. They are on loan to us from God. Often, my wife's on the phone with my daughter, Abby. I'm on the phone with Caleb, and it seems to be this way a lot, you know. And we're talking with them and sharing with them. And I still want to be there for our children, even as adults, to give counsel when asked for and to give encouragement and to give admiration and to, to try to be a blessing to them. But I will say this to you, I'm reminded often that they are a blessing, an heritage from the Lord. Number three, let's talk about the future of the family. Now, is there any hope for the family? Yes, there is hope. Let's go to verse number five. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, what does this mean? I think every parent that holds a little baby in their arm, I'll never forget the day that I held Abby for the first time in my arms. I thought I was going to break her, you know, just a tiny little thing, scared to death. But, you know, I wondered what she would become. I wondered when she would come to know Jesus as her Savior. I wondered how she would sound with her words. I wondered what funny things she would do. I wondered about her future. And you know, I wonder about her future still. What will God do in her life? And we pray for her and we dream for her. I do the same with Joshua and Caleb both. We wonder what God will do in their life. But let me tell you something. The future for our family is resting on God's plan and God's purposes in their life. But let me be very clear tonight. Number one, they need direction. Children need direction. They need guidance. Verse number four says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Now, an archer in Bible times would be very particular and careful about his arrows. Now, we don't really understand this in our culture because if you need an arrow to go hunting, you go to Capella's or something, you know, or Bass Pro, or you order it, or you go to some sporting goods store. But not in Bible times. I think we understand that. If a man was a warrior, his life might depend upon him making the best arrow. I mean, he took very careful skill in making that arrow. If he was a hunter, his next meal might depend upon the skill of making that arrow to go out hunting. In fact, a successful arrow would no doubt be smooth, it would be fast, and it would have to be very balanced. You can understand that if the arrow was unbalanced, it would not reach its target. If the arrow was not pointed and sharp, it would not kill the enemy or kill the prey. The craftsman would select his wood. He wouldn't just go out and get rotten wood. No, he would want to get good wood. And he would polish it. He would shape the tip of it with the arrow, no doubt, and no doubt some type of stone. And he would fasten it. And he would no doubt put feathers on the back of it. Because the purpose of the arrow was to reach the target. Now, God gives us this illustration about children. In a sense, God entrusts the raw materials of a child to a parent. Now, you know what a parent is supposed to do? They're supposed to polish that. They're supposed to knock off some rough edges. They're to shape that. There is to be a good balance with the child. They're balanced emotionally and balanced spiritually and balanced physically. There's to be a balance with the child. And it is our responsibility as parents to sharpen and to shape and to balance our children so that they can hit the target. Can I tell you what the target is? It is following Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, let's think about what Paul said.
Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark was to fulfill what God has created us to do. I think it's wonderful that I hear parents, even in our church, that they're teaching their children that God made you. God made you, and God made you for a purpose. I heard Candace, even with little Elijah, and teaching him that God made me, and he can say that. Why is she doing that? Well, because she wants Elijah to grow up knowing God created me. And God made me for a purpose. I'm not just here by accident. And if God made me on purpose, for a purpose, then guess what? I have meaning to life. And so therefore, parents, we are to fashion and to shape. Now, please understand what I'm saying. It is not meaning that parents are to project on their children what they want them to be doing with their life. No. We are talking tonight about them following Jesus Christ, developing a heart for the Lord, spending time with our children so that they know the ways of God and follow the ways of God. In fact, you know, one study that I read recently pointed out that the average parent spends only 7 minutes a day with their child. Do you wonder what's happening in America today? I mean, think about that. And then contrasting that, 7 minutes a day that a parent is now spending with their child, the average child, I'm not talking about your child, but the average child in America spends 3 to 4 hours every day watching television, and also in addition to 2 hours every day looking on social media. Folks, is it a wonder that children do not have the mind of Christ today when they have 7 minutes with their parents and multiple hours with the culture of this world? Folks, can I just say this to you simply? We've got to invest in our children. We've got to take the time. And how can a parent shape a child's life with 7 minutes a day? It is an impossibility to do that. You see, some of the greatest seeds that are sown in the hearts and minds of children are done in their early days. You know, I pray that we all understand the importance and the emphasis that children need direction. They are like an arrow that has to be fashioned. It has to be molded. It has to be balanced so that that arrow can hit the mark of following Jesus Christ. I just want my children to follow Jesus, no matter what they do with their life. It has been, no doubt, difficult for my children, in a sense, because they are PKs. You know what that is? A preacher's kid, all right? A pastor's kid. They are just kids, all right? They make mistakes just like any other kid, but they can be put under the microscope, per se, and there can be expectations put on them that are unrealistic. Almost as if, well, you've got to be a preacher because your dad's a preacher. I don't want my boys to be a preacher unless Jesus Christ calls them to be a preacher. I don't want them to preach unless that's what God wants them to do with their life. I don't want them to think that they have to follow in our footsteps. I just want them to follow Jesus Christ, because then they will have fulfillment. Then they will have contentment in life. Children need direction, and God has entrusted parents to give them that direction in life. Folks, our job as parents is to set the direction for our children's lives, to shape their hearts and minds for God and point them to the target of following after Jesus. They need direction, but number two, they need leadership. Now, look at our passage and we'll be done. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Now notice what it says. "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Now what does that mean? Well, in ancient East, the gate of a city was a place for leaders. In fact, in some ways, it would like be the town halls for council meetings. That's what the gate of the city was like. Here in the gate, people would perform judicial business. They would request audience with the king. or they would stand guard over the city. So when the phrase was mentioned, in the gates, became a figure of speech for political leadership or military defense. So here's the emphasis. The Bible says they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now here's the emphasis. It is saying that a wisely directed child will speak with the enemies in the gates. This is referring to their leadership and their protective abilities. It means that they can stand on their own because they know what they believe. They believe according to the Bible. They know what is true. They know what is right. They're not ashamed. They can stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." They're not confused. They are not distraught and dysfunctioned by culture or by their families. They have a balance in life. They're not ashamed in the gate, and they are protected. They can stand guard, and they know how to protect themselves. You know something? It would be a sad thing if a child grows up codependent on their parents. Now listen, I'm not saying that a child should not love and care for their parents, and there is a place obviously for that. I love my mom and dad and care for them. I don't like their cat, but I do love them, all right? But I love my parents and I want to be there for them. But you know something? My mom and dad want me to be able to make it on my own. They want me to be able to work a job on my own. They want me to be able to handle finances on my own. They want me to be able to take care of a family. How terrible it would be that my mom and dad did not have confidence that I could not take care of a wife and children. And folks, we are training our children to be tomorrow's leaders. And that's what we must understand. In fact, it's all too easy for parents to become very short-sighted with their children. Raising children is not primarily just adjusting their behavior. And that's not what it is all about. It is a process of training their hearts and minds for biblical manhood and womanhood one day. That they can stand on their own two feet, knowing what the Scripture says, and they can walk with Jesus Christ on their own. Recently, my daughter was telling my wife that recently in her time of devotions, how God met with her and spoke to her heart. And when I heard it, it just encouraged me because, you know what? She needs Jesus on her own. It's more than just what I can give them. She needs to know Christ on her own. She needs to walk with the Lord on her own. Last night I was on the phone with Caleb, and I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted to say, "Son, I'm tired." And he was wound up, you know? He was stirred up. You know why he was stirred up? He'd spent time in the Bible that day. "Dad, I've been reading this passage." I'm like, "Son, I'm the preacher, all right? You're the student, okay?" But he was all stirred up. But I was encouraged because he's seeking God on his own, not just because Dad does it. And folks, I pray that our children, we are preparing our children as arrows, that they will be able to defend the faith one day. They will be able to oppose ungodliness, and they will be able to stand for the truth one day. In fact, folks, the future leaders of our nation and in our churches are in our nurseries today. I mean, we must understand that. In fact, we need godly parents. We need godly city council members. We need godly hosts of factory workers and people in all kinds of positions. But it starts with the family shaping and molding their lives. Folks, maybe tonight, perhaps your family, you grew up in a home that was dysfunctional and fragmented and maybe uprooted. Perhaps you were raised in a broken home. My dad has told me often about the home he grew up into, and it is a miracle and the grace of God that my dad has a family that was following Jesus Christ. It's just a miracle. And none of us tonight are perfect parents. None of us tonight have perfect families. I have had often to say to my children, "I am sorry, forgive me. I have failed many times as a dad and as a parent. I have failed many times as a husband. But tonight I am grateful for the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that God is still at work in my life. And God is still at work in your life. You know, tonight, God has given us families. Let us know that except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let's go to Psalm chapter 121 in closing tonight. You're there in Psalm 127. Go to chapter 121. And I guess we can kind of end with this tonight. Notice what the Bible says, Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer, the word there means allow, thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Tonight, our help cometh from the Lord. And tonight, let's turn to Him. Let us not focus on our past regrets, but let's focus on now. Let's focus on today. Whether it be your marriage or whether it be your family, our help cometh from the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you for the blessing of our families. We thank you for that. And tonight, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us, that you will speak to us and help us. Lord, I know we have young parents here tonight. And I pray that they would understand that these children you've blessed them with are from you. They're a heritage of the Lord. And I pray tonight that they would covenant with you, that they would be the mother, be the father that you've called them to be. Oh, Lord, unless you work, it's all in vain. Unless you bless, Lord, it will all be in vain. Help us tonight. We need you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say tonight, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. And whether it be my marriage or whether it be my home, I need the Lord's help. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand together tonight? And the piano is going to begin to play. We're not going to sing, but I want to ask you to come to the altar if the Lord has dealt with you. Would you find a place? Maybe you families would like to come and pray. To pray for your families, to pray for your children, pray for your marriage. You need God's help and God's guidance. And He gives us the foundation. He gives us what we need, the pattern. And may the Lord help us tonight. Thank you. You may be seated.